Sundays and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President-elect Donald Trump's on a roll with controversial choices to head up new administration posts. The latest, the nation's highest-ranking law enforcement position. Correspondent Jared Hill.
Trump's transition rolled ahead, naming Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz as his pick for U.S. Attorney General, raising eyebrows from both sides of the aisle.
The president is smart enough and his team is smart enough to know that Mr. Gaetz will never get confirmed by the Senate.
Gaetz, a staunch Trump ally, resigned from the House Wednesday, just days before a House ethics panel was set to vote on whether to release its report on its investigation into whether Gaetz engaged in sexual misconduct and tried to obstruct government investigations. That's according to three sources with knowledge of the committee's work.
Republicans have won sweeping power in Washington with a majority in the Senate and, by our latest count, the House. As for leaders, longtime South Dakota Senator John Thune, chosen by secret ballot, UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
Thune is an institutionalist, and because of that, I think on occasion, he will quietly, behind the scenes, try to maneuver and limit Trump when he goes too far. Whether he'll do it very often, I doubt it. If Trump comes out against Thune and demands that he be replaced, Thune will probably be replaced.
The number of serious illnesses linked to last month's deadly E. coli outbreak is up. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Federal health officials now say at least 104 people have been sickened in an outbreak of E. coli food poisoning linked to onions on McDonald's Quarter Pounder hamburgers. One person died in Colorado, and four people have developed a potentially life-threatening kidney disease complication.
The outbreak was traced to 14 different states. New worries for Floridians slammed by back-to-back hurricanes this fall. CBS meteorologist Lonnie Quinn's keeping an eye out.
Just off the coast of Honduras, we have a tropical system. There's a 90% chance that tropical cyclone number 19 is going to become Tropical Storm Sara over the next few days. It's going to be pushing into the Gulf of Mexico after it crosses the Yucatan. And then sure enough, this one also wants to make the bank and move toward the west coast of Florida.
There's no rain in the forecast for New York's tri-state region for at least a week, which means the weather will be no help for crews battling a stubborn wildfire that broke out along the New York-New Jersey border over the weekend. The flames now 50% contained. They're giving away free stuff at Starbucks today. CBS's Chanel Call.
It's Red Cup Day at Starbucks. Customers who order any sized holiday drink today can get a free grande-sized red reusable cup while supplies last.
Dow futures up 50. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled, sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost three games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There's not much left for Denzel Washington to achieve when it comes to his career. That is probably why he's mentioned retiring soon. The actor says he will star in the third Black Panther film. After that, he says he will do Othello and then King Lear and then hang it up. There is a lot of potential there to exit the business with a third Oscar for acting. Washington won Best Actor for Training Day and a Best Supporting Actor statue for Glory. Seems like he's really getting the hang of this acting thing. Fasten your seatbelts. There is a new Sexiest Man Alive for 2024, and his name is John Krasinski. Brzezinski. The always humble Jim from The Office and star of A Quiet Place says when he got the news, he thought he was being punked. His wife, Emily Blunt, said if he won, she would wallpaper the house with magazine covers. Sounds like they have a busy weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wombo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of 52 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low to mid 50s. Then on Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the Trump appointments coming fast and furious out of Washington, D.C., and what's happening closer to home here in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I am not a mountain of muscle. Conrad is a mountain of muscle. He's the one. He's the one that can barely contain those biceps and those tight sweatshirts. That's a nice looking sweatshirt you got on tonight.
Yeah, it's a nice blue.
You got shorts on?
I do not. No.
Okay.
What's I got some golf pants. You know.
Oh, all right.
No golfing, just golf pants.
Just golf pants. You just like to look like a golfer.
Exactly.
All right. Nothing wrong with that. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We got a fun one tonight. Wherever you're joining us from, all over the state of Wisconsin, that's where we broadcast. We are on about 20 different radio stations. You can listen on the app, the stream. We got you covered however you are joining us. It's great. Just great that you're joining us. So fun show tonight. We have a guy I'm very excited to have on, not just because he's really tall, but John Schrader is a writer and executive producer for the show Bob's Burgers. He will be here at 6:35. And we have to ask him, Conrad, about Jenny Slate, because she's a Bob's Burgers actress. And we kind of discussed, I brought up John's name to her when she was on a couple weeks ago. So we'll see if John is as fond as Jenny was of John. I suspect he is. But John is a guy I go way back with. When I first moved to L.A., we were both writers for the WB. Is it still called the WB Network? I don't even know.
I don't even know what that is.
Probably not then. It might have become the CW. There was the UPN network, the WB network. I want to say they combined to form the CW. I don't even know if the CW is around anymore.
I don't know. The CW
it is.
Okay. Yeah, they had one of my favorite shows when I was growing up. Middle range.
Middle range, okay. Early to mid-teens. I didn't know that.
It's called The 100, and that if you haven't seen that show, definitely give that a watch.
On the CW?
Yeah. Now it's just on streaming services because it stopped.
It's been on for a while.
But it was on weekly on the CW.
That's interesting. All right, well, John and I wrote, John was kind of already established at the WB. They used to have a little stable of writers that would write promotions for the shows, like One Tree Hill, I can't think of any other WB shows right now, Gilmore Girls, and John was one of the writers there. That's how I got to meet John. Great guy. He's gone on to do some great things in TV. He wrote for the Sarah Silverman Show, Bob's Burgers. He's been part of a lot of great staffs, too, and a very funny guy and a heck of a nice guy. He will be here at 6:35. Very excited to catch up with John. And then a guy we met about a month ago, Ezekiel Drews, he has a film festival. He's the founder of a film festival. And folks, let me just say that takes a ton of work. I can't even imagine the organizational skills you have to found and manage a film festival. But Ezekiel has done it. And it's the inaugural Milwaukee Independent Film Awards that will take place this coming weekend. Ezekiel will be here to give a quick pitch to the film festival and remind people that he is there. And hopefully you guys in the Milwaukee area will support him and check out some fun movies this weekend. So those are our guests tonight. Lots of fun. Great. I like it. We got a little comedy. We got a little indie film. And we've got, you know, in honor of John Schrader's appearance on the show, our question tonight, since he writes for Bob's Burgers, and he was an executive producer of the Bob's Burgers movie, too. Did you see that, Conrad?
Surprisingly, I've never seen any of Bob's Burgers.
Really?
I've never seen it yet.
Okay. Well, this will be an education for you tonight, then. I'm excited for you. He was an executive producer of that as well. But the show itself, I never thought as an adult comedy would be so sophisticated in an animated form. Like, in 1989, when The Simpsons came out, I was even late to the party then. I thought, oh, it's a cartoon, whatever. And then 3 years into it, my buddy Mike Siegel, who's been on this show, made a VHS tape for me, bound and determined to get me to watch the show, and I loved it. So now I love Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons. Some of the best writing is in the animated world. And that is our question tonight. What is your favorite animated sitcom? You can go back a ways if you want. I mean, the first ones that come to mind, Futurama, King of the Hill, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy. But if you want to go Flintstones, you can. I know we had an animated question somewhat recently, but we're going to hone in and make it more specific. This is for sitcoms, and it's because John is here tonight. So let us know what your favorite animated sitcom is. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Text us, and we will read it on the radio. You can text us on the stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube. What else, Conrad?
Yeah, we're on Facebook under WGBW, Nightlight with Peach Schwaba, and WISS, YouTube, WGBW, and Civic Media, and on X or Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW.
Yeah, check us out. You can text us old school at 855-752-4842 or on the app. It is so easy, ladies and gentlemen, to text Nightlight on the app. And we have we've got Earl rescheduled, by the way.
Awesome.
I think next Monday night. I may have to change that because I forget. I'm going to Madison, but I haven't cleared with anybody down at headquarters if I can do the show from there Monday night. So I hope it works out.
Just do it from the hotel room.
Or do it from the hotel room, exactly. I drove down here today, as I do every day. This freaked the living daylights out of me. Everything that could have went wrong on this drive down went wrong. There was someone camped out in the left lane. I've complained about this before. I cannot believe in this day and age. Once in a while, you space out and you're like, whoa, I'm in the left lane. I'm only going 71 or 68. The speed limit's 70. I better get over because this is a safety thing. People are passing on the right, and that's not good. Well, this person, la-di-da, had nowhere to be, was camped out in the left lane. And as I got closer, no driver. That's what it looked like. I was behind this person, no head. I'm like, oh my gosh, all the paranormal stuff I've been talking about on my show leading up to Halloween has caught up with me. There is a headless driver in front of me. Oh my God, freaking out. And then I thought, okay, obviously that's not the case. It's some old person. It was not an old person. Someone passed her on the right. Then I pulled up on the side. I didn't want to make anyone feel bad, even though I was annoyed, but I did a quick glance. It's a young girl whose head didn't even reach the top of the headrest.
Oh, wow. So she was short.
She was really short. And I mean, get a phone book, right? Sit, do something. You got to be able to see over the wheel. And that explained a lot. But she stayed there. This guy passed her on the right. She still did not take a hint. Conrad, I am not kidding. At some point, there were 20 cars behind her because the person in the right lane, they weren't doing anything wrong. But out of courtesy, sometimes when I'm in the right lane and there's some mope in the left lane, I'll speed up a little to let people in. Nope. It was like they were doing it. It was like it was the Jamie Kennedy experiment or candid camera or something. It was like a parade.
Oh, no.
And I was probably maybe going to get here at 5:20 tonight. Best case. So that, I don't know what that slowed me at 5-10 minutes or whatever. Then I get here and I realize my parking pass is in my other car. No street parking anywhere downtown. Because do they still have the farmer's market? Is that what the deal is?
I think it's something new today. I went to get my haircut and it looked like they were setting up something festive.
Interesting.
It looked cool down on Broadway.
Do you think it had anything to do with your haircut?
It might have been. I got it, and they were like, well, time to set up.
We got to put some decorations up here. Conrad's rocking the high and tight. It looks good, by the way.
Thank you.
I did kind of notice that, but I was in such a hurry when I got here. So anyway, that's my night. And then I'm driving around downtown Green Bay looking for parking, and I'm way over by the Northland Hotel. So it worked out, whatever. I always leave enough time where even if I'm running late, you know, the worst thing is we have to do a couple things after the show, but very stressful. Why would you do that? I don't understand. It really did creep me out, though. I thought there was like a driverless car in front of me. And it was a Hyundai. I know technology isn't that far along in Hyundai world. So how do you say that? Hyundai or Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Hyundai.
I think. That's how I say it, at least. So it must be right.
I don't like that name for a car. Hyundai. It's too hard to say. Honda's easy. Toyota, easy. Hyundai. Hyundai. You have to think about it before you say it.
Hyundai.
Just start a petition. Let's see if we can get them to change that. That's got to go. Hey, I thought of you earlier, too, because there is a new Star Wars trilogy in the works.
Yes.
Are you excited about that?
No.
Why not? I thought you're a big Star Wars guy.
I am, but, you know, it comes to a point where enough is enough.
Really? But what if they're great?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
The last 7, 8, and 9, I didn't enjoy as much as the other ones. Then, you know, the last was pretty good. I thought it had a good ending.
Was it the Rise of Skywalker? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
2019?
I just thought that, I was like, okay, they can end it now. Maybe make a couple shows.
Okay.
I didn't know they were going to make another trilogy, which I will see, obviously.
I'll see it too. But I got to admit, when I read it, I was like, okay, great. Yeah. I wasn't surprised, but I was like, but that should be interesting. I mean, they're always going to keep making them. And it's the guy who did, I can't remember who the director was, King, something King. He was,
Kingsman?
I think he did a couple X-Men films or something. Okay. But you sent me this too. I haven't had a chance to look at it. the Hawktua girl.
She finally revealed who Pookie is.
I have to admit, I have not been keeping up with the Hawktua girl ever since she shunned our membership request for her fan club.
Yeah.
Who is Pookie, her boyfriend?
The funny thing is that he is a plumber.
Okay.
I just thought that was funny. I don't know. But he is a 22-year-old Kelby, a plumber from her hometown.
But what is he? Is he like her boyfriend or something?
I don't think they're dating anymore, but Kelby, that's really his name.
Kelby. Okay.
K-E-L-B-Y.
So she's talked about him on multiple podcasts. She's got her own now, which is, as I understood, kind of it's rocked great to the top.
Oh, it's just great. It's the best listen you could have.
Does she? It's Hawk. It's Talk.
Talk Tua.
Right. Okay. That's clever. So she was dating a young guy, 22. He's probably an apprentice. He's probably not a full-blown plumber yet.
Kelby,
and now
the plumber.
And now she's famous, and he's an apprentice, and the relationship is over. Is that what I'm understanding?
I mean, yeah, I'm guessing it's over.
See, I feel bad for the guy. I thought she was in touch with her roots, but fame changes people, Conrad. Don't let that haircut go to your head. It already has.
But I saw a repost. I'm not going to say the whole thing, what they said.
Thank you.
But they said, we're not done with this yet. Who cares?
Not done with what?
The Hawktua girl.
Who's not done with it?
Just he just reposted it and said, we're not done with this yet.
Oh, okay.
Who cares?
I'm with you. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll have a clip from Bob's Burgers coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. And it comes as no surprise to me with another guy. Here comes my baby.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Tonight's question, what is your favorite animated sitcom? Only sitcom, folks. You can go back to the 70s if you want. You can do Flintstones, Jetsons, but some of the more current ones, Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons. Did I say The Simpsons before? I meant Flintstones. The Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, Futurama, King of the Hill. There's all kinds of, and you can go with the new ones too, like Regular Show, Rick and Morty, right? That's a good one.
I mean, I haven't watched Rick and Morty either.
Okay. How often do you get your hair cut?
About every 2 months.
Wow, that's not too bad.
I don't like it to get super long, you know?
I just cut it when it gets unruly. all right, so what song were you talking about before? You want to talk about a song?
Before, I was going to show you what, before, you know, the person was going 55 and 70.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't get time to show you before the show, but Mark Zuckerberg.
A Facebook fan.
Has made a cover. And the cover of the song is Get Low by T-Pain. You know that song?
Yeah. What do you mean he made a cover? Like him singing it?
With the guitar. Yeah, he plays the guitar and he sings it with T-Pain. And they're called Z-Pain.
Wow.
And I listened to it. And it is the funniest thing hearing him say some of the words that T-Pain does.
Is it bad?
He sounds nice, but it's just really funny. It's just, I don't think...
Do you have it?
We can't play that.
Why? Is it like obscene or what?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Lots of swears.
Really? Zuckerberg dropping F-bombs?
Oh, yes. Yes. Everything that's in Get Low, he says. That There's not a word he skips.
Doesn't sound like our Zucky. Our Zuck Zuck.
I'd give it a listen on your way home.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. I only have an hour drive.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could squeeze that in. all right. We have John Schrader is coming up at 6:35. He is one of the executive producers of Bob's Burgers, the immensely popular Bob's Burgers. They've been on the air for like 13 years. And John has been there the entire time, which is so cool and such an amazing run. I think after The Simpsons and Family Guy, that's probably the longest running animated show. I don't know how long King of the Hill or Futurama ran, but anyway, we have a clip from Bob's Burgers. And of course we had Jenny Slate on the show about 3 weeks ago, who is a cast member of Bob's Burgers. And I don't know, is she in this clip?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, let's hear a little clip. This is a little something from Bob's Burgers.
How many drinks do you have at a cocktail party?
Depends on your body weight.
And zodiac sign.
Your age plus one.
No, no, no. 2.5. First one loosens you up. Second one nerves it. Last one, put it down. Don't finish it. You don't need it. But don't put it on the stereo or any furniture where it's going to leave a little ring. Make a big show looking for a coaster.
What's a coaster?
We don't have any, but some people do. Some people care about their furniture.
But where do I put this?
I'm pouring mine in the plant.
No, no, no. Plants don't like sweet drinks.
Just hard liquor?
Tina, hold on to it. Pretend it's a second.
I wonder if John has done any voice work on the show, because he's like such a funny guy. I wonder if he's, we'll have to ask him that when he's here. But that was a clip from Bob's Burgers. John Schrader will be along shortly. We'll talk about his run on Bob's Burgers. He's written for several other shows as well, and it'll be fun to catch up. And then 7:35, we've got Ezekiel Drews. He is the founder of the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. The inaugural film festival happens this weekend. Very exciting. He's also a local actor. He will be here to discuss that. Did you find the, what else did I ask you to clip today?
Well, we got
Joe Mantegna. We've got Joe Mantegna and Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So we'll have to put that in the back pocket. If you want to get into the fun, folks, our question tonight in honor of one of our guests, John, is what is your favorite animated sitcom? And you can go back a ways. You can pick something more current. Rick and Morty, Regular Show, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, Futurama, King of the Hill. If you want to go back to Jetsons, Flintstones, you can do that. Conrad, you're very excited about Steve Zahn's birthday.
I was just letting you know I got a clip. And it's
hint,
also...
Hint, or what?
It's, I think... Gerard Butler, that's how you say it, right?
Gerard Butler, yeah. He is in every movie released between 2005 and 2015 where there's a catastrophe about to,
yes.
to happen.
Well, I got a clip of both of them. And the Steve Zahn one, not a lot of people I don't think have seen. It's called Management.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
I just think it's such a funny clip.
That's one of the many shows I haven't watched.
It's actually free on Tubi with commercials, but...
Isn't everything free on Tubi?
Free with commercials.
Yeah. You couldn't... What was the other thing you said you had? The other clip?
Oh, I got Gerard Butler from 300.
Okay. We're not going to play that even if you paid me.
You don't like you don't like 300?
If you slip me $100... No, I haven't seen it, actually. I don't know.
Really?
I have not.
It's a great movie.
This is a Christmas classic was released this week. I don't know if people realize this. From 1988, Ernest Saves Christmas. Do you believe it's already been like 36 years since that dropped?
I haven't actually seen that.
You haven't seen Ernest Saves Christmas?
I know there's like...
Whatever, dude.
30 Ernest Saves Something, right?
Sure. But I know you said you watched the Danny DeVito Christmas movie, Deck
yes,
the Halls.
Yes, Deck the Halls.
It's a little early to be starting that, don't you think?
I just haven't seen that movie in a while. I was looking for a movie, and I just played it.
Okay.
And I just didn't know.
Did you hate it?
Well, I didn't know that Ferris Bueller was in that movie. Broderick, right?
Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, I didn't know he... And then
you can call him Ferris Bueller, that's fine.
I looked it up to see how many movie credits he has, and there's so many.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. It's ridiculous. Checking in on the stream, Dave says, South Park. How did I not mention South Park? Yes, South Park is a good one. Sherry checks in and says, hey, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry, the woman of many emojis. Sherry says, the Jetsons and SpongeBob. Great ones. Forgot about SpongeBob, of course. Tom from the 414 checks in and says, Ren and Stimpy. Yes. How did I forget Ren and Stimpy? I never really watched it. That's probably how I forgot it. But it was very funny. I mean, the clips I saw from it, Beavis and Butthead. You can go Beavis and Butthead too, folks. Lots of options out there. But we'll ask our next guest what he thinks, what his favorite animated show is. I have a feeling I know what he'll say, but we'll check in with John Schrader. After Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed, we'll do all that next. This is Pete Schwabba in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jesus, on your own.
Sat there at the table and acted real naive. Her knew that topless lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
CBS News Brief. Controversy swirls around President-elect Donald Trump's choice of Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Gaetz has already resigned from Congress. CBS's Nicole Killian.
The speaker made clear that he has been in touch with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and hopes that Gaetz's seat could be filled as quickly as possible, perhaps as soon as next January.
John Thune will replace Mitch McConnell as Senate Majority Leader. CBS's Scott McFarlane says there will be no change in the House.
House Republicans have chosen Mike Johnson of Louisiana again to be their nominee to be Speaker of the House. Johnson has been a loyal ally of Trump's, including on and after January 6, 2021.
Mariah Carey's 30-year-old Christmas hit has been dethroned.
Maybe there'll be an open door.
The NFL's Jason Kelce and Stevie Nicks' new duet is number one on iTunes Holiday Chart. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bucks come alive. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled sending their game into overtime with a 127-120 win over the Pistons in Milwaukee. For the 10th time in his career, Giannis scored 50 or more points with 59. The Bucks improved to 4-8. Doc Rivers.
You know, we don't like our record. We're starting to like it more and more with each win, right? But it tells you on the inside how close this team is and how much this team believes that we're going to be a good team.
Bucks center, Brooke Lopez.
We didn't start the third the way we wanted, but you know, when we started picking it up, the crowd was into it. They picked us up again. You know, they brought us to another level, and they just continued to do that throughout the rest of the game.
NFL, the Packers face a Bears team that have lost three games in a row and fired their offensive coordinator. Do the Packer players still think this could be a dogfight in Chicago Sunday?
No, 100%. I mean, the rivalry is there in its own, but, I mean, it's another North opponent, so we're definitely locked in on that.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When it comes to films opening wide this weekend, it's a bit quiet, sort of like the calm before the storm. All eyes are on next week's openers, which will showcase Barbenheimer 2.0 or Glicked, which is Wicked, and Gladiator 2. But there is one film opening wide this week, and it follows a new trend of badass Santa movies. Red One stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Evans, J.K. Simmons, and the awesome Bonnie Hunt. Johnson plays the head of security at the North Pole and teams up with bounty hunter Evans to find Santa Claus, who has been kidnapped. It's usually an inside job. The first suspect would be Mrs. Claus. Red One is getting less than 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, but don't let that stop you. It looks like pure holiday fun, and at PG-13, it's fun for the whole family. The Bruce Willis film, The Fifth Element, is getting a re-release this weekend, but in a limited capacity. The film is from 1997 and also stars Ian Holm, Gary Oldman, and Chris Tucker. If you feel like staying home, new movies to stream include Megalopolis, Saturday Night, or Michael Keaton's Goodrich. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of 52 this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low to mid 50s. Then on Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild still sitting in for Pat Kreitlow, and he'll be talking to Congressman Mark Pocan as well as State Senator Dianne Hesselbein with guest co-host Angela Lang. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The 920, Marilyn says, the Jetsons and Johnny Quest. I forgot about Johnny Quest, too. It was kind of a big show for a while. From the 715, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You know that show? I don't know that one.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. Keep the suggestions coming, folks. Jetsons, SpongeBob, Ren and Stimpy. Someone said Beavis and Butthead. South Park. How did I not get South Park? We play, like, the Brian Boitano song once a month to close the show. Very excited to welcome my next guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is a very funny guy. We go way back. I have not talked to John in person in a while, but it is great to have him on the show. He is one of the executive producers of the immensely popular Bob's Burgers. A very funny guy, and he is here with us tonight on Nightlight on the Stream. John Schrader joins us. Hey, John.
Hello, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
How do you like my shirt?
Oh, my gosh. Conrad, can you take a screenshot? Where'd you get that, dude? John.
I don't know. I forget the state I got it in. I think Kentucky.
I mean, like, you don't live here. It's
the humor you're so accustomed to. No, it says drink Wisconsinably. As you might know, I'm a sucker for a pun. I got this on one of my many trips to Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
I love you. Oh. And thank you for having me on your show.
It is my pleasure, buddy. It's great to see you again. And I'm glad you could be on the stream so I could actually see your shirt. Where do you, when you visit Wisconsin, where do you come to in the dairy state here?
Well, it might be a little bougie, but we will do a family reunion at Lake Geneva from time to time.
Oh, nice.
No one lives there. It's just kind of central to a lot of the family across the country.
Now, do you have family here, John, or does your wife have family here?
Not in Wisconsin proper, but just all over the Midwest, some of the Southeast. So it's a nice central meeting spot. We just kind of rotate places. So everyone loves Lake Geneva, of course.
Yeah, it's a fun place. We did a family thing there too a few years ago. And our buddy Tom Lennon, I don't know if you know Tom, he lives there now. He was on the show a few weeks ago and I had no idea he had moved to Wisconsin. How do you like that?
He moved to Lake Geneva full time?
That's what he said, yeah. He has no reason to lie.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, he's an honest man. He's a very funny, honest man. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, John. Well, thank you for representing and for being here. We are on all over the states, so whoever is watching on the stream right now, you can be impressed by John's shirt because it's kind of cool. And I'm impressed that you have it and tickled that you wore it.
Last minute I took off a Dodger shirt. I'm like, these Brewers fans don't need to see that.
Yeah, the Dodgers, listen, congratulations. That was exciting.
Everybody hates us, I know, but it's a good team with good guys.
Absolutely. And I mean, I took my kids to Dodger games all the time. It was like kind of became my second team after a while. So I always root for the Dodgers.
Exactly. That's the thing.
What's that?
Back to Wisconsin. I want to give a shout out to one of our sound engineers and editors, Matt DeVille, recently left the great city of Burbank to move to Cedarburg.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, that's a lovely town.
He's working on the show from there, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So this show has been on forever, John. What an amazing run. Like, I think when I first met you, you were kind of not on your way out from the WB. We were both promo writers. I was just freelance. I think you might have been full-time, but that was like, did you ever imagine you would have this run on this hit sitcom, which is the gig everybody dreams of? You've had like a 12 or 13 year run. Did anything at the WB prepare you for that, or is it just something, were you writing specs?
I was writing specs with our mutual friend Doug Benson. We would write spec scripts, which is a script on spec. No one was paying us to do it, and then every now and then we'd sell one, but they never got produced. So I felt like I was inching closer to it. And then our other mutual friend, Sarah Silverman, got her show on Comedy Central and wanted to hire Doug and I on that. And Doug politely declined, you know, his passion is performing. So he wanted to stay on the road. He didn't want to get a staff job. And then she was kind enough just to hire me on my own, even though I had written with Doug at the time. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And then, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. And then from there, that got canceled. And then I was very fortunate to get hired on Bob's Burgers.
But you had that show was on for a couple years at least, right? The Sarah Silverman show?
You know, it was on three seasons, but there was like, you know, 9 months in between seasons sometimes. So it kind of dragged out. You know, the cable schedule is a little different than the network.
Yeah. Is she, I don't know Sarah well. I've only met her a couple times. I can't say I know her at all, really. But is she hard to write for?
Only because she's so much smarter and funnier than the rest of us. But no, she was, I mean, it was great. She's very generous and she was a joy to work with. I thought it'll never be that good again working on that, on the Sarah Silverman program. Huh. And then Bob's got as close as you could imagine. It's just such a great group of people. Our cast is the best cast on television. They make it so easy to write. I feel like my job is just to kind of tee them up to go off script and improv, and that's where the gold comes from.
That is so great to have that, you know, in your arsenal too, comedy wise, like good scripts and then people who could take it to another level. I'm going to tell the listeners, because I think every once in a while somebody does a role on a show that's pretty memorable. And Doug Benson is not a household name, but he's a very funny guy. And he was the guy on Friends. Conrad, you listening? It's very important.
Yeah.
He was the guy on Friends who was it. Remember the Yeti?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah. He was, and Rachel thought the Yeti liked her, but he really said, I got a friend I'm going to introduce you to, and kind of threw her for a loop. And that's Doug Benson. He says, my mom calls it bloomies. That's a very memorable, that's Doug Benson. And Doug and I had acting classes together, and I don't know him really well either, but I loved how honest he was. The guy's not afraid to say anything.
Oh yeah. No, he's fantastic. I thought you guys were tight, because that's how I met you, is through Doug Benson. I mean, we were all at the WB.
Yeah.
How did you start working at the WB network,
Pete? Paul Gilmartin, who's been on the show, Roger Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. And I really, it was Paul who got me in there, and Paul was kind of my role model. Paul taught me how to think about what we wanted to do for lunch at 9:02 a.m., which you know. So how did you get in there? How long were you there?
I was at the WB network between 96 and 2003.
Oh, wow. That's a good run.
It's a good run. And I thought, well, I'll never have a job that long again.
Yeah.
And Bob's came along.
And here you go. Okay. So we had Jenny Slate on the show about 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 weeks ago. She's a regular on Bob's. She's great. We've heard clips. So we play comedy clips on the show from time to time. We had a very funny skit. She was in from SNL. How is she on the show? Is she as funny? Like she was delightful, John. Like, and I immediately was envious that you get to work with her every day.
Yeah, no, she's the best. She's another one like you who, very sad she left California. You know, she has moved on to greener pastures on the East Coast somewhere. I forget exactly where.
Oh, wow.
So I don't get to see her as much, but she is just absolute joy, as you experienced.
Yeah. Yeah. She was great.
And funnier than anyone. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So when you got the gig at Bob's, you know, did you have any indication, like when you heard about the show, were you like, this is going to be a huge hit? Or was it, let's see how this goes? Did you get in on spec, or did you know the producers? How did you finagle that?
This was the first job I got. There was a dry spell after Sarah Silverman show ended, and her boyfriend at the time, Jimmy Kimmel, was kind enough to hire me on his show in between seasons of her show.
Oh, nice.
So, but then after both of those, stopped happening for me, I thought, oh, I'm having trouble finding work. I might just be that friend hire. And it was my agent who just submitted me for Bob's, and they hired me based on my work on Sarah's show.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You ever do any voices on the show, John?
No, I don't possess that talent. I'm very happy. I'm very happy behind the camera. I don't even like this stream, to be honest, Pete. I combed what's left of my hair. You did a good job keeping yours, by the way. Look at that.
Yeah, I never know what to say when people say it. Like, I have a writing partner who's always talking about my hair, and it's kind of, it's embarrassing.
It was beautiful back in the 90s, and it's beautiful now.
Our traits, other than comedy, don't really get, like, how tall are you, John? You're like 7'12", right? Or something like that?
I'm 6'10", yeah.
6'10". See, I think Tell me if I'm wrong. You've got comedy chops, so I'm not taking anything away from you. But does it help to have a memorable trait like that? Like, being that tall, when you go into a room, are people immediately like, you're so memorable to begin with? Does it help you in any way?
I have to imagine. I mean, no one's ever said that, but
yeah,
you know, I'm known as Tall John. That's because there's so many Johns in the world. You need a few qualifiers. Right. I've been known as Tall John for a while. But yeah.
So, all right. So what was your goal when you moved to LA before you had, where are you from, by the way, John? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Palm Springs, California.
Oh, gorgeous.
I know. It's great. It was very different then growing up than it is now. It wasn't, you know, fun and hip. It was a retirement community. I always joke my family was the middle class. You know, my parents were teachers. So all of my friends either owned the resorts or their parents worked at them. But yeah, it was a fun place to grow up. There was a little budding music scene down there that spawned Queens of the Stone Age.
Okay.
You ever heard of them?
I have not heard of them. No. Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, they're great. But I'll digress on that. So yes, I grew up in Palm Springs, went to college in San Francisco, studied film, realized I didn't really care about directing and F-stops and all that stuff, and kind of gravitated toward writing.
Nice. So
yeah.
Where does the premise of Bob's Burgers come from? I know you weren't one of the creators, but you must work.
No. Lauren Bouchard created the show. He's from the East Coast, the Boston area. And he's often said that it's kind of inspired by this family that ran a pizza place. And it was going to be a pizza place for a hot second. And then he switched it to burgers because he thought that was just more American, relatable.
Right.
But yeah, it was loosely based on a family-run restaurant that he grew up around.
So let me ask you this. So many animated shows, I don't know if it's so many, but Bob's Burgers, The Simpsons, Family Guy. I know Futurama mm-hmm. was on for a long time. We had Mike Rowe was on the show a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you know Mike, but
Mike.
Yeah, he's great. Our kids went to the same grade school. That's how I got to know him. And then we just became friends.
Great.
But yeah, but how is it not easier, but why do some of these animated shows have such a long run? Other than obviously they're funny. They're hilarious, but are they less expensive to make? Are they easier to make? I've heard animation is very tedious, but what's the secret to a long run?
Well, I think with animation, it is every day is the same. You know, the characters don't age. They wear the same clothes. And it's tough to do that on a regular sitcom as, you know, everybody gets older. The kids get older, especially. But they live, you know, they're eternally, you know, 9, 11, and 13 on our show.
That's a great answer. How did I not think of that? Conrad, well, you're supposed to be looking out for me. Made me look foolish
in front of
my tall friend John. Is there any end in sight, or are they going to keep the show going? Do you get an indication from year to year?
We get an indication. You know, right now it looks, you know, we're about to find out about a pickup, and we're hoping for a multiple season pickup. It's to be determined, but it's looking optimistic.
Nice.
And I'll also say this, you know, during COVID, our producers, I still don't know how they did it. They figured out a way to get all the equipment home to the artists. It's easy to write from home. You know, you just have a laptop. But there's a lot of equipment that I can't even begin to explain that goes into creating an animated show that they somehow were able to get into these artists' homes. And we didn't miss a deadline during COVID, unlike our friends on the live action side.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite animated show? Like, let's say you had to take Bob's out of the equation. What's your favorite animated show?
I can't say that. I mean, I'm a Simpsons fan since day one. You know, yeah. I still have a spec script for The Simpsons I wrote in 1989.
Oh, nice.
That I'm not ashamed of. I might send it over to Matt Selman, see what he thinks. but beyond that, I listened to all the shows you said. South Park, of course, is just, I think, the high benchmark. Family Guy, Futurama, King of the Hill. I'm a huge fan of King of the Hill. One that wasn't mentioned was Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And the Brack Show that followed that. But yes, I'm a huge fan of animation, going way back, even the Ed Grimley Show on Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh my God, I forgot about that one too. John Schrader is my guest. He is one of the executive producers of the highly popular Bob's Burgers. If you have not seen it, you have about 13 episodes to watch, which is very exciting. We'll have John for a few more minutes after a quick break here. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I talk the way I want to talk.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a case likely destined for the U.S. Supreme Court, a federal appeals court struck down a Mississippi law allowing receipt and counting of mail-in ballots up to 5 days after Election Day. Pro-voter groups are fighting back. A three-judge appeals panel in the notoriously conservative Fifth Circuit Federal Court ruled October 25th that federal law does not allow any state to extend the receipt of ballots after Election Day, including in-state ballots or the UOKAVA mail ballots used for overseas military and diplomatic personnel. The panel allowed the counting of those ballots for the 2024 election, but sent the case back to a lower court. Despite 20 states offering a grace period of varying lengths, U.S. Circuit Court Judge Andrew Oldham wrote, "Federal law does not permit the state of Mississippi to extend the period of voting by 1 day, 5 days, or 100 days. Pro-voter groups asked November 8th for a reconsideration in front of all Fifth Circuit judges, but the case is likely to be ultimately appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. For now, the ruling applies only to the Fifth Circuit states of Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. But an adverse ruling by the Supreme Court's conservative majority, which often throws precedent out the window, could impact millions of voters at home and abroad who depend on mail ballots." We have links to the case documents and other reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Our question tonight, what is your favorite animated sitcom or TV show? Let's stick to TV. We've had some great texts. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, and I will read it on the radio. We'll play catch up in a little bit with some of these texts. Great answers so far. Speaking of animated sitcoms, John Schrader is here. He is one of the writers and executive producers of Bob's Burgers. And I think I said you have 13 episodes to catch up on. You have 13 seasons to catch up on if you're looking for a new show to watch. So check that out. John, what do you watch when you're not writing? Like, we talk about TV and movies a lot on this show. What's your favorite? Is it something you can recommend?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of stuck in the past. I think one of my favorite shows of all time has to be 30 Rock. It was just so well written and so dense with jokes. And every actor on that show just delivered above and beyond. I'm a huge fan of The Office. I've probably watched that in reruns, you know, a dozen times. It's hilarious that, like, there's no way you could do that show today. I know that's such a cliche to say, yeah, but it's true. It wasn't that long ago, and it just holds up. Yeah, those are the ones that come to mind. Recently, I love English Teacher. That's on Hulu.
Oh,
it's very funny. I highly recommend it. Fresh young voices.
Huh.
I think that's all that's coming to my mind at the moment.
Cool. I'll have to check out English Teacher. That's the second time I've heard that. I haven't seen it. You know, in the past, when the American Office first started, I was kind of snobby. You know, I was writing and I thought I was pretty hot stuff. And I was like, that's the British one's the way to go. Over time, when I started watching the American Office, I cannot believe what they did for that long. Like, in it's lifted it way beyond the British Office to me, because as funny as that was, it was 12 episodes, but to do what they did on NBC for that many years in American seasons, which are what, 22, 24 episodes, is incredible. Yeah. I'm with you. It's such a great show.
Yeah, and I don't even compare them anymore. I was the same way in the beginning. It's like, oh, you're not going to be better than Ricky Gervais.
Right.
And it's not. I don't even compare them. I mean, yeah, to me, they're two very different shows. And yeah, it's just they're kind of just, you know, they live independent of one another.
Absolutely. So you've had an opportunity on Bob's to work with some really fun guest stars. I was looking at IMDb, the people we've worked with together, Lance Barber, who's been on the show, Tom Lennon, Odenkirk, mm-hmm, you had on the show. Who's the most, yes, fun you've had as in a guest starring role on Bob's Burgers?
Oh, man, that's really tough. Everybody is so great. But I geek out all the time on George Wallace. You know, he's just so funny. His Twitter is hilarious. And just everything he does and says, just his, he just, everything he does on the show is amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
Who else? And then, yeah, we're lucky just to have people like Brian Husky, Rob Hubel. Yeah, the list goes on and on. We're lucky to attract, you know, very, very talented people.
Yeah. When you, I was looking at your IMDb, it said you played a dancer on a show called
The Grind.
The Grind in the early 90s. Can you elaborate?
Well, first of all, I think it's cute that you're pretending not to be a huge fan of The Grind. You and I would watch it all the time. No, what happened was IMDb, it's a dirty little secret. It's no different than Wikipedia. Anyone can go on there and change and mess with anything.
It's terrible. I know.
So I was doing that with some friends, Tim Croston and Drew Goddard. And, you know, we would just, like, mess with each other's IMDb pages. I never bothered to change mine. I wasn't born in 1946. I never played a grandpa number two on Mork and Mindy.
That was my next question. I saw that. I'm like, how was there? Did he play a baby named Grandpa? How could that happen? That's hilarious.
No. It's all lies. It's all lies. And there's also something else on my IMDb that's just not me. And there's another John, I think Schroeder. Mine's pronounced Schrader. And I'm getting credit for something called Drunken Public. And it was a real thing with some people I know, but I can't take credit for it. And I tried to remove that, and I can't. But the other ones are just dumb jokes.
I have two school literacy movies on my IMDb page that I shot when I was the PTA president at a school in the Valley at my kid's school. And one of the other parents wanted their kid to have a credit because they were trying to launch their showbiz career. And I contacted IMDb. I go, I had real actors because it's LA and they were parents. So they're in it and they're great actors. And I said, you can't put this on there. This is not, you know, this could hurt these people. It's not a union thing. Just take it down. And they're like, sorry, we can't. So I'm like, so anybody could put anything. So that's hilarious. That makes total sense.
Yes. Though. No, it's tough to get stuff off once it's on.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I got a couple more questions. Can we keep you for a few more minutes, John? Would you mind through the news?
Are
you
good? No, the kids are well taken care of. So I'm
okay.
Fine.
Who do you have? Who's taking care of the kids? Your wife, or you got a babysitter, or what?
No, they're under a hamper with a brick on top.
You treat your kids like cartoon kids. I love that.
Yeah, no, that is a Simpsons joke.
That's a great joke. If you had to choose, what is your favorite live action sitcom, John?
Oh, that is tough. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and it's true, and it's obscure. It's Get a Life, starring Chris Elliott.
Oh, I love Get a Life.
Yes, it was so far ahead of its time. Again, another cliche.
Yeah.
A close thing to that would be It's Gary Shandling's show, his love show it. Before Larry Sanders. I went to a couple of tapings of those way back when, like in 1989.
Oh, very cool. He's in that category where I'm amazed at guys that have one sitcom that's great, but like Bob Newhart, Gary Shandling, some of these people that have had Ted Danson, my God. And I want to ask you if you've seen a show called Hello Ladies. We could do that after we got a little news break here, just a few minutes, and we'll come back. We'll have just a few more minutes with Bob's Burgers writer, John Schrader, before we let him get back to his kids who are trapped under a hamper. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone, solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely, but you probably don't think nothing of me. She was right though, I can't lie.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media's own Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a Law Review, joins us at 11:06. All things sports with J.R. Ratcliffe and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.